an inch. He wants to take the whole show. Matthew 21, verse 1. Matthew 21. Last week, if you remember, we talked about Daniel 9. So let me keep your finger in Matthew 21 and go back to Daniel chapter 9. And talk about those four huge verses in Daniel about prophecy we talked about last week and Daniel chapter 9. In verse 25, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 80 days, and the street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. And after 80 days shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people, the prince that shall come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with the flood. Under the end of the war of desolations are determined. All right, anybody remember from last week? How many weeks is Daniel's trouble and Israel's trouble? How many weeks are determined upon Israel? Dave, 70 weeks, and it's split several ways, but it's mostly split just in one split. And how long is the first period? 69, and then the last one is 1 week. So how many weeks have happened so far? Right? 69. And what was the end of the 69 weeks? Anybody? Matthew? Messiah coming to Messiah. And so we see that Messiah would cut off, but not for himself. The prince of the people that shall come, which was Titus, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and their end thereof shall be the flood. So we're going to talk about, at this point, we'll go to Matthew 21. I want to kind of show you just going through Matthew and talk about Jesus' first coming is where we'll start here. What was the actual coming of Messiah? What event was the actual coming of Messiah? Anybody remember? Anybody knew? Mark. Jesus going to Jerusalem, the palms and the hosannas and all that stuff, and he came down, and that would be Jesus' actual coming. So let's join that in the book of Matthew here. This is the triumphal entry, Matthew 21, verse 1. It says, "And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come into Bethpage unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, and said, saying unto them, Go ye into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied, and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, say, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And disciples went and did as Jesus commanded, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them the clothes, their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way, others cut down the branches and the trees, and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. So there he's fulfilled that in Zechariah, where he came sitting upon a donkey and came down and descended. And the Messiah came, and 69 weeks ended. Now, you'll see now, things start changing very quickly here in Matthew, because this is getting towards the end of his life. He comes down from the mount, and now it's going to start going towards a different time. And let's pray. We'll talk about the time of the Gentiles. Father, thank you for your word. I pray you'd help us to see it, Father, and see the depth of it, see the wonder of your word and how perfect it is and how you work things. There's no way that different writers could have made something so deep and so profound and so perfectly fitting as all the prophecies are, Father, and how they went over time and are still coming true today. I pray tonight as we study, I pray we'd see the wonder of your word. I pray we'd realize that Jesus could come at any time and that we would be ready. And I pray your spirit to speak to our hearts now, and you'd give us wisdom to study and understand your word, and we thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the word of God, and I pray we grasp these truths now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we see this. Jesus comes down off the mount, and that's our first event. I'm just going to follow some verses right here through Matthew, because things start happening. This is right near the end of Jesus' life. This is his final descent in Jerusalem before he's going to be crucified, and it starts just happening. And it's going towards a time of, as God separated the 69 weeks from the 70th week, the time in between is what the Bible calls the time of the Gentiles, because God is going to be done with Israel. And say, I'm putting you aside for a while, and I'm switching my ministry. I'm going to go to the Gentiles. And so it starts happening. You see him start doing things. So let's just go forward. The first event was Jesus coming. Messiah coming, and that's him descending from the mount. And blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And even the rocks would cry it out if nobody else did, because it had to be announced Messiah's come on a colt, and just like the Bible predicted. And so that happened. Next thing he does is you see him in verse 12. He cleanses the temple, and Jesus went to the temple of God and cast them out that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said, "My house, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves." And then he healed people there, and that was another prophecy, as he would cleanse the temple, and he did that. Now, interestingly enough, Jesus will cleanse the temple again. The temple will be defiled by the Antichrist, and he'll cleanse the temple again. But here he cleanses it short-term and cleanses it and turns all the money changers, because the church, the house of God, became a den of thieves and became all about money and needs to be cleansed again in America today. And Jesus needs to come turn over some tables. And so Jesus cleanses the temple, and he says, I'm going to cleanse my house. Next, interestingly enough, I think people just read over this, not understanding that Matthew is the most prophetic book in the New Testament, except for Revelation. If you have a book that shows prophecies fulfilled or prophecies given, if you have that, they're all over Matthew. Matthew is the most prophetic of the Gospels, the most prophetic of the books, except for Matthew. Everywhere is prophecies in Matthew, and Matthew's always saying, as it was written, because it's fulfilling prophecy all over. And almost all of Matthew 27, almost every verse will say, Jesus did this as it was written. Jesus did this as it was written. And it's showing the fulfilled prophecies. And again, we see this. Prophecies are being fulfilled here in Matthew 21. Verse 18, now in the morning as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, Let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. When the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, How soon is this fig tree withered away? Interesting, Jesus is walking toward his death, and he wants something, and he goes to the fig tree, and he picks a fig tree, not an apple tree, not an orange tree, not a grapevine, not an olive tree, but a fig tree. The fig tree in Matthew 24 is going to be pictured as an important prophetic event we see there, and when the fig tree brings forth fruit. And the fig tree is very symbolic in prophecy. It's used several different times in prophecy, but it's very symbolic in prophecy. And immediately the fig tree withers, and he says, I'm done with you. That is prophetic, and it's happening according to God's plan, as he walks by and says, here's Israel. Israel's going to wither. I'm not getting any fruit from it. And so we didn't get that. And if you go look to chapter 24, just I'll turn there and show you. In verse 32, now learn a parable, the fig tree. When the branch is yet tender, it putteth forth leaves, so you know that summer is nigh. So likewise, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. For I say unto this generation shall not pass, so all these things shall be fulfilled. And we're not going to teach on that passage, but it's right in the middle of the prophecies about the end times and the tribulation and all those things. And so the fig tree withers. Next, immediately, all the Israel's leaders begin to question Jesus and his authority, and began a final rejection, and it happens very suddenly and very fast. Now, before, they would send someone to argue with them, and they would send someone to ask him questions, and it was sporadic and occasionally, and many of them would just watch. But here we see them immediately say, we are done. We are fighting him. We're saying he's wrong, and we are also saying that you're not true. And we see them just go with a big push now. And now they decide in Matthew here at the end they're going to kill him, and they decide they have to do that. And you see it right afterward. And And verse 23, we can start there. It says, when he was come to the temple, right after the fig was done, and when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, by what authority doest thou these things, and who gave thee authority? And so they started to question his authority. Now understand, Israel at this time was not scattered. The people of Israel were in Israel. Israel, although underneath Roman rule, the Romans were not tight on their rule. Remember when Jesus being crucified? These are questions about your laws. We don't need this. Now, the Romans were there with their soldiers and with their leaders, yet every area of the Roman Empire, they would not just make it a Roman legion. They would let you have local leadership in your small little affairs, but we got our soldiers there in case you get out of line and you belong to Rome and we'll tax you and take stuff from you. But you still have some autonomy, and Israel was like that. And so the Jews were the ones, the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin were the rulers of the Jews. Remember Nicodemus, art thou a ruler of Israel? He's a Pharisee and knowest now not these things. So these rulers of Israel began to go and just reject Jesus' authority and fight them, and Jesus begins to reject them as followers of God. If you go forward to chapter 22 and verse 15, then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. Chapter 21, verse 45, then the chief priests and Pharisees heard the parables. They perceived that he spake of them. He's warning them of them. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude because they took him for a prophet. And again, here we see them fighting him and going against him. And verse 41, when the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? And he starts to show them that they had false doctrine. They didn't know what they were talking about. And he says, you don't know. He's not a son of David, because David calls him Lord. And Jesus, and they began to go after Jesus a whole bunch. Jesus strongly condemns their leaders after they began to go after his authority and question his authority. Jesus strongly condemns them in many passages. We just read in chapter 21, verse 1 through 3. Chapter 22. And he begins to do parables that talk about how the Jews are not rulers, or they got to beware of them, and God is not going to use them, and God does not follow them. And Jesus begins to condemn them politically and spiritually. And if you go forward, I got the wrong chapter written here. It's chapter 23. There we go, chapter 23. Then Jesus spake unto the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit at Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not, for they bind heavy burdens upon you. But verse 5, all their works they do to be seen of men. Verse 13, but woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for to shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer them that are entering to go in. And the whole rest of chapter 23, he just scorches them. He says, you generation of vipers, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Verse 24, ye blind guides, which straineth the gnat and swallow the camel, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you make clean the outside, thou blind Pharisee, verse 26. And he begins to say, you are not God's people, and you are not God's leaders. Those of you who are leading Israel and Jerusalem, you are ungodly and unsaved, and you don't know God, you know nothing about his works. And everybody be careful of these leaders. They are not my people. And he strongly condemns their spiritual and political leaders and does that. At this point, a very important event happens, and Jesus leaves Jerusalem desolate. The place that had God's name, where Jesus said, it's a very special place. This is my city, the city of God, and how wonderful it is. God says, hands off it. I'm leaving you desolate without my presence, and you're going to be a dry, empty of the presence of God's city, and I'm no longer going to make you my people and not my city. And it is time, you're done. Verse 37, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how oft would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not? Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till you say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. They just said that a few chapters earlier, but the next time that they, it'll be desolate, and the next time they'll see Jesus was when he comes back to earth. And they'll say the same thing, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. So he says, your house is Jerusalem. I've tried to gather you to me. You rejected me, so hands off. Your house is left in you desolate. You are an empty graveyard in my presence now, and you're left to be destroyed. And now I'm done with you. He's cut off 69 weeks of Israel's time, and he says, now I'm done, and now I'm going to go, and now I'm going to a different people, and now Israel and Jerusalem, you are no longer got my special favor upon you. Watch what he says. Watch what happens in Matthew 24. Then, and by the way, all Jewish chapters here. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. They're saying, look at these buildings. I mean, it's these two temples, and this Herod's added on and built this one back up, and it's beautiful. And look at these amazing buildings of the temple around here. And Jesus says, God's presence isn't here anymore. And it's done. And you know what? You think this temple's something great. You think this temple's something wonderful, and Jerusalem is the holy place. It's done. He says, verse 2, Jesus said to them, ye shall not see not all these things. Verily I say unto you, there shall not be here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. By the way, in 70 AD when Israel was destroyed, they couldn't get all the gold out of the cracks of the temple. They wanted the gold. And they literally took every single stone apart to get every piece of gold, literally. Just as Jesus predicted. And history tells us that, but Jesus predicted that, of course. He wasn't alive in 70 AD. He was alive in heaven. And so they literally destroyed the temple that the Jews thought was so wonderful, Israel that everybody thought was so wonderful, and the Jews were still in Jerusalem and still in charge there, was destroyed by the Roman legions and said, this city is now just a Roman footprint, and we are not going to let this city. And the scattering of Israel began, and Israel was then destroyed as a nation. No more Israel. No more Israel, but the Bible said there would be an Israel again, and so not till 1947, as the Bible predicted, it would become a nation again. It miraculously came back. Jesus next teaches Israel what to do during the tribulation. Because they ask him, whoa, verse 3, what is going to happen? When is this going to happen? And when will these things be? What shall be the sign of that coming in the end of the world? And it's fascinating. Jesus in Matthew 24 and 25, if you read them, and we don't have time to read all of them right now, but he doesn't tell Christians what to do in Matthew 24 and 25. It is very specifically what Jews are supposed to do in Matthew 24 and 25. Ye in Judea, flee to the mountains. You in Jerusalem, if you're in Jerusalem and you see the abomination desolation, run and don't even go back in your house. It's not talking to us Gentiles. It's not talking to unsaved. Why? Because God will be talking to Israel there. The Jews are going to understand. Israel is going to be saved. They're going to understand they missed the Messiah. The Christians are going to be gone and they're going to be saved. And what happens is they go, good night, we missed the Messiah. And he realized that Jesus is the Messiah. 144,000 Jewish evangelists go across the world. Israel becomes God's people again. They enter the 70th week right at that sign of the peace treaty. And what do? They say, good night, we missed the Messiah. The New Testament must be true. Let's read the New Testament. What's the first book of the New Testament? Matthew. They'll understand about the Messiah, and they'll get to 24, and they'll say, this gives us instructions here, what to do during this tribulation and how to survive it. And so, verse 16, I don't got time to teach on this. Let me go back a couple verses. Verse 15, when ye therefore see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, Daniel 9:27, we read last week, stand in the holy place, whosoever leadeth, let him understand. So when he is standing in the temple, the Antichrist, which by the way proves the temple will be rebuilt, temple's not rebuilt right now, there's no temple right now, it will be rebuilt, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop come not down, and anything out of his house, and let him take that. Verse 21, there shall be great tribulation. And so, a whole bunch of things here. I don't got time to go into it. But it says, you head east, you go to the mountains, I've got a safe place for you there, and you got to run and fly to the mountains. That's during the tribulation, when the abomination desolation in the middle of the tribulation there. Why? Because Jesus says, done unto Israel. They said, what's the end of the world coming? He says, let me tell you what you do during the 70th week again, because I'm done with Jerusalem for a long time, with Israel for a long time. I'm done with them. it is now a different time in the Bible. Go to Luke for a second here. Luke chapter 21. And this is prophecy in Luke 21 also. Talking, it's parallel with Matthew 24 and 25. Luke 21 and verse 24. It says, And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. That's what happened to Israel. Remember, Israel was around in all nations until 1947, and still they were. They were coming back. There are still Jews going back to Israel from all over the world. And then shall they be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. So, there will be an end of the time of the Gentiles. See, when God said, I'm done with Israel, God said, now I'm going to the Gentiles. Israel, I've given you all these chances, and I've spoken to you and spoken to you and spoken to you, and you've been my people since the very start, and now I'm leaving you desolate. I came, 69 weeks are done, you've been my people for 69 weeks, I'm done with you as a people right now, I'll be back to you. They didn't know if that was going to be 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. It's been 2,000 years. See, God's, your days is 1,000 years, 1,000 years a day, and he's going to come back to them. What event would make him be done with us, and now he can go back to Israel? The rapture. We're gone. He's not going to look at us and say to all of us Christians who've been faithfully serving him for 2,000 years and say, you know what, I'm done with you guys. Okay, you're not even mine anymore. I'm going to the Jews. We won't be there. Boom. That's why the rapture fits so perfectly into pre-tribulation or right at the sign of the treaty, because the time of the Gentiles is finished, and it's God says Israel again. And literally, back, the temple is doing sacrifices again. There is people again, 144,000 Jewish evangelists. And the Bible literally says all of Israel shall be saved. And if you go and run to the east, I will have a place of safety for you. And anybody who comes after you, I'm going to destroy them. Because you are again my people. It's the 70th week, and it's going to be a time of Jacob's trouble. You're going to have a hard time, but you're my people again. And by the way, he says, though you're going to have a terribly hard time, the time of Jacob's trouble is the 70th week, it's called. He says, I will be with you and protect you through it. And please don't think if you're God's child, you going through a hard time is got to be escaped from. God never promised you not to have a hard time as his people. He just says, I will be with you. You're my people. And Israel, he says, you're going to go through the worst time of Israel's history, which is a bad history, i.e. Holocaust, maybe. Some bad times there. 70 AD, all the different times, it's been terrible times. But he says, the 70th week is the worst time of trouble you'll ever had. However, you'll follow my instructions, I'll take care of you and provide for you. I'll literally give you wings. It says you can fly east because the armies of the Antichrist, the world leader, is right behind you. And when they come right behind you, I'm going to open up the earth and swallow their armies up. But if you lag behind, you go with them. And so he tells you, don't even go get your coat. Just run east because I'm going to take care of you. And they do that. Go forward to the book of Acts chapter 2. If you understand the time of the Jews and the time of the Gentiles, God prophesied to Israel, when I'm done with you and when the time of Gentiles comes, one of the things he said, it says, I will go to a people with a strange tongue. So I'm going to go to people and I'm going to show you, they're not even going to speak Hebrew. I'm going to go to people with a whole new tongue, and I'm going to go to all the people of the world, and I'm going to a strange people to you because I'll be done with you for a while. That's exactly what Pentecost was a signification that the time of the Gentiles is here and I'm going to everybody else now. Verse 5, and there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. And if you go down, it names them, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers of Mesopotamia in verse 9, all these things. But it's very interesting in verse 8, and how hear we every man in our own tongue when we were born? Understand, they spoke in tongues. The miracle was the people who heard them, they heard them in their own language. It wasn't somebody going, Yamaha, Kawasaki, Honda. You know, it wasn't somebody just yakking away and making noises. They were speaking the wonderful works of God, and the guy in Mesopotamia said, he's speaking in Mesopotamia. Isn't that amazing? I thought these people were Jews. And the guy says, he's not. He's speaking Greek. And the guy says, he is not. He's speaking clear as day in Parthian. No, he's speaking clear as day. And they're all sitting here and going, I hear them speaking in my language. That's what tongues was. It's not what's happening in church nowadays. It was a totally different thing. And they heard him, every man, And it says, this was spoken by the prophet Joel when he said, I'll pour out my spirit. He says, also, with a strange tongue will I tell my people that I'm going to a different people now. And people had come from all over the world to Jerusalem. They heard that salvation was in a different language to everybody in the world. And they went back to their country scattered, hearing the new tongue. And that's what it was all about. Go forward to Acts chapter 18. I did teach a class on the life of Paul in Bible college, and I've been teaching it, and it was amazing. I really noticed that the book of Acts, everywhere Paul went, the Gentiles would receive what he said. The Jews would fight against them, and the Jews would be so angry at him, they would follow him from town to town. The ones who, he'd be in one town, and the Jews would fight against him, so he'd leave that town and go to the next town, and he'd be getting people saved left and right, and the same Jews would show up and say, that guy's terrible, he's evil, arrest him. And so he'd go to a different town, and these Gentiles, the Jews kept on fighting him, and the Gentiles kept getting saved. And watch what he says in chapter 18, verse 6. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, talk about Jews, you can see it in verse 4, and blasphemy, shook his raiment and said to them, your blood be upon your own head. I am clean. From henceforth, I will go into the Gentiles. And it's been with the Gentiles now for 2,000 years. Israel is not reaching the world right now. America is reaching the world. Filipinos are starting to do it. Koreans are starting to do it. It's been from England. It's been from different spots around the world, from Germany for a time. Christianity has been a Gentile religion. God, and so God's been using them. Go forward to the book of Romans. So we are right now in the time of the Gentiles, but the 70th week is coming, and where the Antichrist will rise, and we are flying toward it. One of these, I'll just give you articles and just read you things that are happening. This week, yesterday, President Obama took a whole bunch of time and talked about Israel and their problem with the Palestinians and Turkey. There was major articles about Turkey, fascinating enough. There are two articles I had this week about two countries who were turning anti-Semitic. They were Turkey and it was Russia. That was in this week's newspaper. We talked about Turkey and Russia. That was about 4 weeks ago. I talked about Turkey and Russia invading Israel. There's so many things that are pointing us toward this 70th week where God says, okay, I'm going to Israel. First of all, Israel became a nation, but there's many other things that happen. Romans chapter 11, verse 25. By the way, a Jew can be saved today, but they just become a Christian. God loves the Jews. We should not be anti-Semitic. Our Savior is a Jew. we're reading scriptures written by Jews. They're wonderful, precious people. We should treat them very well and everything else. But now they don't get the chosen. Right now, they're not the chosen people. They are not God's people and automatically by birth. They've got to be born again. And they've got to trust Christ. And they've just got to become a Christian and go to a Christian church. They can't go to the temple. God abandoned the temple and let it be destroyed because because he took his hand off them. And Romans chapter 11. And verse 25, for I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Sion, that's Mount Zion, that's where Jesus will come from when he comes down to earth and land there, a deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. Remember the word covenant we did for a long time? Okay, we'll go back to that in a sec. And concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Let me get back to Romans there in just a sec here. If you read Revelation 1, 2, and 3, you see the word church. Under the angel of seven churches which are in Asia. Church, Revelation chapter 1. Under the angel of seven churches, write these things, the seven churches. There's seven golden candlesticks, the seven golden candlesticks of seven churches. Under the church of Ephesus, write this. Under the church of Smyrna, write this. Under the church of Laodicea, write this. Under the church of Philadelphia, write this. Under the church of Sardis, write this. Under the church of Smyrna, write this. Under the church of Thyatira, write this. And it's church, Revelation 1, 2, and 3. Revelation 4 comes, and it says, and he said unto me, come up hither, and I'll show you what must be hereafter. And all of a sudden, you see the words come up hither. The word come up hither is used, I think, in Revelation 11, exactly for when the two prophets die, and they're resurrected and taken up to heaven, and the Lord says, come up hither, and they disappear and fly right up to heaven. Same phrase. After Revelation chapter 4, 1, you just saw, I think it's 29 times, you see the church, 1, 2, and 3, and it says to the churches, and all of a sudden you see come up hither, and immediately you see Israel, and you never see the word church again. You don't see the Gentiles again except for bad, trampling underfoot the temple. And all you see is Israel's trouble, and Israel will be through this, and Israel will have this happen, and Israel will have this happen. Why? Because I believe that the time of the Gentiles ends with a rapture. I don't know if it's the day of the signing of the treaty. I don't know if it's 2 days before. I don't know if it's 14 days after. But somewhere there, we know for 100% sure, the 70th week of Daniel starts right at the sign of that treaty. The Antichrist and Israel will sign a piece of paper, and poof, Israel's God's people again. And Israel begins to get saved. Of course, the world's going to be different. There's going to be all kinds of chaos and craziness. But it's a peace treaty for 7 years. The whole world right now, the question and answer time with the reporters, the press meeting, they ask about Israel. And Helen Thomas, who's been forever in the press corps since forever, she asking her crazy questions. She's kind of crazy. She gets up there and she asks the question, when are you going to get rid of the real problem, the Israel occupiers, and kick them out of Palestine? And this this week, all the time. It's all about Israel and the Palestinians, and this last week it was about them with the ships coming in. And they will sign a peace treaty for Israel to get peace somehow, and boom, Israel's God's people. We're out of there because the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled. We've done our job. We preach the gospel to every corner of the world. Hopefully we're doing that, and then we're done. And then it's Israel for 7 more years, the 70th week, and then that ends. I think just an amazing thing and just a little lesson. It's an amazing thing about God. Verse 25, it says, it happened, the ignorant, part of the blindness of Israel happened. God knew about it. But it says God loves them still. God will deliver them. God will change them. Verse 26, there shall come out of Zion a deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. Amazing thing right there. It's been 2,000 years. Nobody knew that Israel, they didn't know if it was going to come 3 weeks after Jesus was resurrected. Nobody knew. And they kept asking him during his lifetime, when are you going to restore your kingdom and restore Israel and destroy the Roman Empire? They did not understand that there'd be a new Roman Empire, the European Union, someday. And they didn't know if it would be 5 years, 10 years, 50 years, and 100 AD. They never knew. And it's been 2,000 years, and God said, my covenant holds true. You're my people. I'm going to go back to you. That is such faithfulness. God's covenant lasts so long. And then he says, verse 28, as concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. Just for a second here. God says, this is a fascinating verse. He says, concerning the gospel, the Jews are the ones who are trying to destroy you guys. They're the ones who crucified Jesus. Well, the Romans did it because the Jews said, release to us Barabbas. And they are fighting the gospel everywhere we go. Everywhere we go, there's Jews that say, nope, not true. And Gentiles say, I want to be saved. And the Jews get you put in jail. And the Jews cause an uproar. And the Jews fight against you. And they are your enemies in the gospel. But, verse 28, but as touching the election, salvation, they are beloved for the Father's sake. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. God said, 2,000 years later, they're still mine. I still love them. And they are my people because I never repent when I call somebody. I want them forever. God is a pit bull in the area of love, and he doesn't let go. And he says, they're my people, and it's been 2,000 years. They've been rejecting me, and they fought against the gospel, and I scattered them. They still didn't repent, and I still made them a nation again. And I still brought them back, and they're still my people because I still love them. Can you understand the faithfulness of God as you sing tonight? Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. Understand, your God doesn't just say, you know what, I'm tired of you, bye. He still loves Israel. And he says, I'm going back to him for a 70th week, and I'm going to protect them and take care of them. 2,000 years of rejecting me, and if I'm God, I'm saying, get him, Antichrist. I'm done with these people. I'm tired of them. And then God goes down and says, I'm coming back to you. I'll be back. I'm coming back to you guys someday. I've got to go to the Gentiles for a long time. And we see him do that, and that's our faithful God. Time of the Gentiles is right now. It's reached the world. By the way, some Jews are starting to get saved. Christians and Jews have never been closer in the last 2,000 years than they are right now. Jews and Christians are getting along really good. And they're going to get saved. And it's beginning right now. They're starting to get Jews saved. You're finding a lot of messianic type churches, and you're finding Jews. And I met Jewish Christians people in Israel. We're sending missionaries to Israel now. Rusty Ewan came in here. He's a missionary to Israel. Israel is going to get saved. We might not see it all. We might be up in heaven. But it'll happen because God's gift and callings, he called Israel as his people. It'll never change. Just pray. Father, thank you for your mercy and patience. And I pray, Lord, as we see this great truth of the time of the Gentiles, where you've said yes to us, and we thank you for engrafting us into your people. And we thank you that we're your people now, Father, and that you let an American and a German and an Italian and a Mexican and an Englishman, Father. You let all of us who aren't Jews become